This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
All right, welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast, Season 25, Episode 2. Joining me, as always, Katie Pallotta. Wait, Katie, hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. Made it through episode 2.
We did, and barely, because things were looking very smooth, and we're going to get through an entire episode without anybody throwing a wrench into things, but that would be too easy.
That wouldn't be a real episode.
No, I thought we were going to get a nice, simple rose ceremony and go from there, but instead we get to be continued with people passing out.
The dreaded to be continued.
Never like to see that. Although I know what a lot of people like to see, which was the opening of this episode, which is
the shower shot.
Matt Bachelor first running, doing some Peloton, and then getting in the shower.
Surprised we didn't get the shower shots in episode 1, honestly, but we'll take episode 2. We'll take episode 2.
Exactly. And we find out that we're going to get 3 dates, which are a group date, 2 one-on-ones, but that not everyone is getting a date.
Dun, dun, dun.
Chris with his most dramatic delivery ever of, and the dates start right now.
And everyone flips out.
Of course, in week 2, if you don't get the one-on-one, then why am I even here? And does he really see me? And why am I opening myself up? And if he's not going to give me a one-on-one,
obviously going to lose.
And Bree gets this first one-on-one and is almost the end of her world because he nearly kills her.
Love was definitely an adventure there. That's for sure.
Especially when you have someone.
It started off like, getting on the ATVs. They were having a good time. All the girls were jealous. That's kind of obviously where it started for all the girls to be like, all right, now he's actually on a date with someone else. Let's start freaking out and having all these, catty panic attacks and everything. Started off good. And then they had to go on to just the one ATV. They couldn't have their separate ones. And then that's obviously when it went downhill, literally.
Well, and especially when you're dealing with someone who specifically is saying, yeah, this is like the last date I would pick. I'm not adventurous. These are not things that I do. She could barely start the ATV, which would probably be me because I've never been on one either.
Yeah.
And then for her to jump on and just be like, oh, yeah, I trust you. No problem. And then he almost kills her.
Yeah, actually, I don't think I have that trust anymore.
At least he recognized that he almost killed her and said that basically her mother is going to kill him for putting her in danger. So if she lasts
I thought
to the
that was
hometowns,
a great, I thought that was a great comment, honestly, because what like, when we have we had a bachelor that, I don't know, he just seems so, I just love him so much.
Yeah, and he just actually seems before,
so, like, he actually cares about this, about Brie, and is caring what her mother's gonna think about almost killing her. And just not even this date, just throughout the whole episode, it was just like, he's just such a gentleman. And it's like refreshing for this show, honestly. It was refreshing to have Tayshia because she was just, you know, I think, well, not Claire, but somewhat a girl version of this, of Matt, even though Tayshia's been with the series before. But Matt's just a whole new perspective, finally a gentleman, like, and actually cares about listening to everyone and everyone's story, and understands that they're all here for him. So he's going to take the time to, you know, get to know all of these girls. Well, most of them.
Yeah. And I think the one side effect with Matt that we've seen through these two episodes is that when you are seemingly that genuine, and I do buy it, like, this, the whole thing that he's selling, I'm buying. Like, I
do too.
I don't think it's a put on. It does lead to a sort of, I don't want to say boring because I've enjoyed the episodes, but, like, you know, less than exciting run here. And that's mm-hmm. why, as much as I hate Victoria, and I hope that she goes away very soon, and as you can hear, mm-hmm. the twins also hate Victoria, and good for them.
They are not fans.
Those are Katie's twins in the background, and thankfully they are also saying, like, peace out, Victoria.
Yeah,
but what I will say is, as sort of the case for Victoria, is it does at least inject a little drama here, and obviously the rest of the women don't want that drama, and seemingly it's, you know, might send Sarah to the hospital even though she already had a rose.
Yeah,
but without her, which, again, let me be clear, we'll be happy to be without her,
mm-hmm.
but without her, it really is just lovey-dovey, everybody loves everybody, and so happy for everyone, and we're singing Kumbaya, and there we go.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I just think having someone like him as a lead is just refreshing from, I mean, basically we're coming off of Peter when you think about it, for Bachelor. So, I mean, it's not too hard, I guess. But it's refreshing from.
Absolutely.
I think having, but I definitely understand if this continues. Not that he's just like, I don't really know how to explain it, but he's.
Well, it just, I don't know where the challenges are coming from is basically where I'm going with that. And not that Victoria is a challenge that we need, because hopefully once we get, you know, to where we actually know who these women are, and it's not just a gaggle of 30 women, we can get into, you know, and that's a lot of times a drinking square, you know, like, he challenges me or she challenges me. But yeah. So far, there's been none of that. Mm-hmm. It is great to see him listen to everyone and want to relate to everyone. But at some point, you do have to say, "Hey, this is where we differ, and we need to hash that out."
Yeah, I do feel like we'll get there. But I definitely see what you're saying, as in, you know, episode two, and it's kind of just, let's just try to
everything's
love everyone.
Great. Yeah, everything's great, which it is great. And I've enjoyed it. And the fact that we continue to get hot tub after hot tub is also a positive, because it was just something totally missing from last season. The fact that we didn't just get week after week of hot tub dates, and we've already seen like three of them. It's great.
Yeah. They were going through withdrawals. They just had to shove everything into the first two dates.
Right. And in a way that you'll always get Matt shirtless, hey, we have a wood-fired hot tub, but we need someone to chop the wood. So he's going to take his clothes off and chop some wood, because why wouldn't he? and make they a bet. Even like, have him.
Do you think I can do this in one shot? Watch me.
And they even have him doing his interviews without a shirt on at this point.
Yeah,
I mean, let the dude wear a shirt and talk to me.
I mean, it was lacking last season, and really the season before. Sorry, Peter, but really,
it's true. I mean, listen, Matt makes Peter look like me. You know, like, because Peter was in good shape, but like, in no way was he like, hey, let's do all of my interviews with my shirt off in good shape. So,
yeah, I don't think we got Matt, very many shirtless shots of Peter.
No. And don't get me wrong. I would do terrible things to a lot of people to be as in shape as Peter. But like, listen, Matt has like 50 abs and is just in a different world.
Yeah.
But he did put the shirt back on for dinner with Bree, and we got another one of these conversations where, again, it was a deep conversation, so I don't want to say it was just like, oh, I'm agreeing with everything, but this is where you have two people who literally can relate on almost every level, because you have single moms and, you know, these very close relationships, or at least important relationships with their mother, and absent fathers. I mean, that's not just I hear you and I want to listen to you. Like, this was as relatable as can be.
Yes. So she talked about her mom getting pregnant with her at the age of 13, which is extremely young. It was always just the two of them. And then during quarantine, she found out that her mom was pregnant with another child and kind of has this whole other family and home without her. And she's kind of doesn't really know. It sounds like she doesn't really know where she stands right now. In terms of, is she going to go back and try to be with her mom's new family, or is she kind of doesn't know where her home is at this point, is what she was kind of explaining, to Matt at this point.
And she gets the rose, and as
shocker,
and as a encore, she gets a huge firework display, which riles up the women, because you have Victoria again in the middle of people who are trying to be positive and like, oh, that I bet they're there and they're having a great day. But then someone even suggests that, oh, I'm jealous. And they're like, oh, see? You are calling me out for being jealous, but you're the one being jealous.
Yeah, as these fireworks were happening, the fireworks were starting at the back at the women's, I don't want to say house because I don't really know what it is.
That's what they call
part
it.
Of the resort, so I think we can call it. the women's wing, I guess. But yeah, that's kind of... I mean, it started earlier when Bree got the card, but this is kind of where it all started just snowballing into a disaster.
Yeah, and there are so many different parts of this. Like I said, she delivers drama, which without her, there would be no drama, or maybe you have to search more for the drama. And everything she's saying, you know, we see this every year, like Noah did it a couple times last year. Like, he'll say something, or in this case, she'll say something where you'll say, okay, like, I can sort of see what you're getting at, but then she like pumps it up to 100. And, you know, that's why, like, when I don't even remember who said it, but they're like, I feel sorry for her because people are ganging up on her, but she has to stop being an idiot. And so she's not totally making awful points. It's just that she like peck, 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 peck. Like, you can just say, hey, I'm here for Matt.
It's her delivery. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's her delivery. Like, I'm here for and Matt. And yeah.
If more people go home, that means I have a better chance, and that's who I'm here for. Like, just end it, as opposed to like constantly sniping at people after every word they say. It's like, it's hard for people not to gang up on you when it's you're making it you against the world.
Yeah. And I even, you compared her to Noah. Even I would compare a little bit to Bennett in the way that, you know, just the way she was talking is, she went after, like you said, facts, basically, and then it just turned into condescending, and then that's how you make no friends.
Yeah, and I mean, calling Marilyn psychologically disturbed, I don't think you're going to make any friends that way. And
not only that, but you've literally been with these people for like 24 hours. Like, how do you even know all of this? How do you even know their name?
Yeah, right. Let alone to know that they're psychologically disturbed.
Yes, seriously.
So it almost gets to a point where you're just like, just stop. Like, you, I understand you feel alienated, even though you've done mostly alienating yourself. Mm-hmm. But like, just stop. Stop talking. You don't always have to constantly be yapping. And it, you know, goes forward a little bit. But like, she sits down with Matt before she you know, drops the grenade. And she makes great points. She's like, I'm self-conscious about things. I know that I always seem like, oh, I've got everything figured out. But like, I do look at myself and say, oh, well, this dress makes me look fat or whatever. And she had an opportunity, even though, again, she's not a big girl by any stretch of the imagination. But as far mm-hmm. as quote unquote bachelorette girls go, like, oh, she's maybe looks closer to what a normal person looks like. So she had that opportunity to like own that. Again, even though yeah. in the real world, she's super tiny, in bachelor world, she had a chance to sort of play that, not even play that role, but like stand up for people who don't look like the size zeros everywhere. But instead she takes it the next way. She can't just stop and say, okay, this is what we're talking about. She's like, yeah. Let's go over the cliff.
Yeah. Not only that, but she, like, every time she talked about something, like, she never finished the thought. Like, she would say something and then all of a sudden she'd be like, I can't do this. Like, it's too early for this, or I can't do this. I don't want to talk to you. Don't sit next to me. Like, all this stuff she didn't even like finish. She was
well,
just, like,
it's one thing to do it with the women. It's one thing to do it with the women you say you hate, but to do it with Matt as well, you know, you sort of scratch the surface and then he doesn't give you the rose and you're like, oh, well then I shouldn't have, why would I open up at all? I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Just
well, yeah,
goes back to not
that
doing yourself any favors.
Yeah. When like, he was like, oh, now let me bring you upstairs. Like, there's obviously, I mean, you don't have to even know anything about this show and you know that there is absolutely zero connection in chemistry with that relationship.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And this all, while this is happening, we get like the biggest group date in history, which I guess is what happens when, and this is without everyone getting a date, but you have the biggest group date in history, which I didn't mind the date, even though it was obviously, we're overlapping and filming. So they're probably like, hey, this worked for us. Why don't you take some wedding photos? Okay. Like, let's do that.
Sounds good.
Sort of was a hit last time. I guess we'll do it. But then not only you have too many women, so you don't even get everybody to get pictures, which I mean, I guess
which
they're just trying to throw red meat in there.
Yeah. I think that was, I don't want to say the worst part of this date because, but like the unfair part, I think, of this date, like, I think they should have at least let everyone have. I know it would have taken a long time, but
but that's what happens when you have 50 people. Like, just deal with
but
it.
Like, we didn't even have to see it all. Like, don't show us all. Like, we don't really care unless something funny happened or something. But like, at least let everyone just get there, have their moment of getting their that wedding picture done, and then have him come in and be like, "All right, we're gonna, you know, take this up to the next level and." You're actually going to compete for his actual heart.
You have to fight for his heart and do some version of, I couldn't quite tell because it was sort of, at first it was like, oh, it's capture the flag because you're getting the heart, but then you're hitting people with paint. So I'm like, was it like paintball? But then I guess people weren't actually ejected. Like in paintball, when you get hit, you're done. But I guess that wasn't the case. It was just a way to hit people. Like it was very confusing.
It was confusing. I think they like kind of mixed like capture the flag with with like
throw wedding cakes at people.
Yeah, kind of dodgeball when you think of hitting people with the paint and paintball. Like,
but then
it was
I don't
confusing.
Think you were ejected. I think you could. I think you just got hit and you kept going. Like, I think it was sort of like a way to stop people. I don't think you actually were like left the
game.
I
mean, Big Polly was the ref, so, and he was on his phone the whole time or sleeping. So I don't think the rules were very, I don't think they were enforced. Well,
I did think Chris said something similar to that, where like the rules are there are no rules. So I guess I should have just gone with that. But I was just wondering, like, why are we splashing people with paint if it doesn't do anything? But you could also say the same thing. Why are we?
Because it's a white wedding dress and they want to wreck it.
Yeah. Why are we shoving wedding cake on, you know, people's wedding dresses? I mean,
yeah.
Just so, close, I guess. Like,
why yeah. Not? So I guess. All in all, like, there was just no rules, and it was just a free-for-all, basically.
They were freezing. I mean, they're in these dresses that obviously, especially the ones that had maybe covered the legs, they were, like, chopping up so they could actually run in them. So they weren't covering anything. They were freezing. They had paint and cake and everything else on them. They're, I mean, how someone didn't break something, it was incredible to me, because, like, the way some of these people bit it was just incredible.
Yeah. I mean, good for them for going through that. It didn't seem like it lasted honestly that long. I know obviously editing, but I think they just needed it as like a time filler. They were like, okay, yeah, that's enough. All right, you go get that heart and then we're going to be done with this.
Yeah. And so even though MJ is the one that sort of delivered the win, somehow Mari was the most valuable bride. There are no rules, so whatever, but yeah. You know, losers walk. And
well, I think she got MVB because
yes,
she was on the, I think they chose someone from the other team,
right? But
to like, join that date, it doesn't make sense, but
it's the Bachelor.
Like, why would you choose someone from the other team at all? But,
I mean, even in sports, like, it's always annoying when the most valuable player ends up coming from a last place team. Like, well, how valuable could they have been if they finished last? Like, I would think a valuable player would be someone on a first place team.
Yeah.
But we see this very unique walk of shame where it's just, you know, last year it was Speedos or nothing. And this year it's a wedding dress, but like with cake and paint and, you know, your namesake putting it perfectly. He's like, I got frosting on my boobs.
Yeah.
And she starts crying. I don't know, because of the frosting or just because she lost. I couldn't quite put my finger on that, but she was very upset.
Because she was exhausted.
You need to go Katie to Katie with her and like tell her to man up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot to discuss if that's the case.
Well, okay. I'd like to hear that conversation. And then we get to the Victoria and Matt conversation. The first one, not the one that caused us to get a to be continued. But, you know, when she sits down with him and he says, oh, well, you know, what you're sharing helps me understand the way you are. And she lights up. But that's literally what Marilyn and the other girls were trying to say to her. It was like, well, no, I'm trying to understand you, like almost word for word. So like, talk to me about what your problem is with this so I can understand you. And she took that offense. But of course, Matt says it and she's floating up to cloud nine like, oh, he wants to understand me.
He cares. He really cares.
Yes, but Marilyn is deranged. I mean,
yeah. Makes no sense.
Not that any of right, and not that anything she says should make sense. Clearly, we know why she's there, and that's fine. But at least like a little semblance of reality in her craziness would be fine. I think we could do with that.
Yeah, she's a special person.
And what ended up sending her off the deep end was what we were saying before about she opens up to him a little bit, and then because of she did and didn't get the rose, which went to Lauren, all of a sudden, oh my God, well, clearly I need to break something, which in this case was like,
it was just
the entire cocktail party.
Yeah. I mean, it's been extremely cringy with the, when they're interacting anyway, but when like she thought that they were going to kiss and then he's like, all right, can I take you back upstairs? And then she had to ask for a kiss Which,
that's
I don't think
rough.
I don't think I could ever, like, why would you do that? If he wanted to kiss you, he would kiss you. I don't. Oh, it's so cringy. I needed it.
Oh, so my God.
Uncomfortable. So,
with, yeah, I mean, it really sums up every minute she's been on camera. It's just, it's so uncomfortable. I just want her to stop talking. Like, yeah, you make a good point five words in, but then the next 1,000 words are all just crazy. Like, just stop at 5. You're good.
Yeah.
You don't need to sleep on a couch. Like, this isn't called the Victoria. It's called the Bachelor. Like, come on now.
You'll only be around for a few more weeks.
Right. But that crying in the background just sums it up perfectly. Like, just dynamite drop in. We're definitely getting them some residuals for this. This is good. Going to have them doing the Blue Apron read soon.
It's more of an agreeing scream. That's not a cry. Like, yes.
And so this leads us to what I thought was sort of the positive of the episode, or one of the positives before we got to her passing out, but that Sarah gets a one-on-one and goes on what she appropriately dubs, you know, the first plane ever made. I'm like, I don't know. They don't want to put their lead in danger, but I mean, would you get in a plane that looked like that?
I don't think so. That was pretty small.
Because almost everything they do, that's sort of what I think. It's like, I would do pretty much everything because, well, ABC, oh my God, their show would end if they killed their lead. So, like, it's got to be pretty safe.
Yeah.
But that plane.
Well, that's probably what they thought about the ATVs, too.
That's a good point. We almost got there already. So, like, let's put them in a really old plane.
We almost needed to get another Bachelor again.
Huh.
And
so, you know, she is going in this, well, I want to have a conversation with him and I can't because, like, this is cool, but I kind of want to have a chat. And then they do have a chat and she doesn't want to actually talk, which he could clearly tell and was like, oh, okay. He's asking questions and just not getting the answers. So he's like, so I guess we'll have a nice dinner later.
Yeah. I mean, at first I thought he kind of sounded like he didn't sound annoyed. But, like, in his in-the-moment interview, he was kind of like, well, some of the girls already, you know, opened up completely and were vulnerable. Like, this is the, like, your second one-on-one date, and it's the second episode. Like, I don't want to say he sounded annoyed because it wasn't that, but it was just something like, oh, well, these girls already, you know, opened up, and there's something, and she doesn't really want to open up, but she's going to have to because, you know, this
Everyone
is our time together. And so he was like kind of comparing her, which I wasn't, that's how I took it. I don't know if he actually was, but I was like, this is only the second episode.
Yeah. Well, I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, when the fact that everything's hunky dory with everyone and everyone's like, it's perfect. And so when there's someone who very obviously was not answering fully. I mean, besides the fact that we know the backstory, like, well, clearly, I do think he sounded annoyed. And she must have picked up on that because once they got to dinner, she then wanted to dive in. And, you know, it's obviously an incredible thing that she's been through. I mean,
oh yeah.
We talked about a little bit in the first episode about leaving her job to help care for her father who has ALS, and just the idea of being a caregiver at what, like 24 or whatever she is. I mean, to be at any age is incredible, but to, you know, a point where you're thinking, okay, I'm going to focus on my career and everything's going one way, and then to have to do a U-turn. I think it was just, he was looking for this is great. And they got there, but it was like,
yeah,
we could have done this 5 hours ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad. I'm definitely glad she ended up telling him at this dinner and wasn't like, you know, oh no, I can't talk to you about this. And then she finds him later and like tries to, you know, talk to him about the, like, I'm glad it happened. This is the time that they had together, one-on-one, no distractions. And I'm glad she was able to come out and open up about that.
And it led us to
obviously the most important part, of, you know, of her story and why she's here and everything. So.
And it led to hot tub number two of the episode.
Two hot tubs in like 1 hour of the show. This is
welcome to
intense.
Matt James's Bachelor. Yeah. Yeah. and you know, you're thinking everything's great with her. Somehow she passes out later. You know, to be continued. But that leads us to the cocktail party where once again, he's talking with everyone and it's like the total, I mean, I know we say it a lot, but this is a reason these people are the best in the business. It's everything's great. Everything's awesome. Oh my God. Every conversation I've had has been so good and everyone looking like everyone's going to get time. And then in comes Victoria, who just for some reason has decided, well, this is the time when I need to tell him. She didn't use the B word. He did. But like that I'm being bullied by Marilyn, which she's the only one who seems to think there's any bullying going on. But for some reason, she decided, oh, I'm going to pull out this trick, which usually I wait until a little bit later in the season. But she must have been thinking,
I know, seriously.
I don't have that much longer. Maybe she was feeling she'd be an early exit. So like, hey, let me pull an episode six trick out on episode two and complain about how I'm being treated by someone. And maybe it'll work. I mean, judging by the coming attractions, you would think she's more than just the to be continued, depending on if he like puts a pause on the rose ceremony. But
yeah, I just thought it was so like, I just thought it was a random, like not a random confrontation, but like Victoria had something kind of with a bunch of people earlier in the episode, like talking about, you know, the difference of being jealous and not wanting Bree to be on the date and that whole thing. And then I feel like she just ended up on Marilyn because they had shared a room and she didn't want to go back and sleep in the same room. So this is kind of where it came to as, you know, Victoria versus Marilyn, as opposed to Victoria versus anyone else. And it was just, to me, I thought it was kind of just a random person of the group to kind of go after.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess she had to pick one instead of, because I, like he said, it's a, she said, and they sort of all agreed on that, you know, it's what can I say? It's, and I kind of wish Marilyn would have said, go ask the other women, but I guess if she would have come with like air and grievances about multiple people, that sort of sends the flag up like, oh, well, what's the common thread here? Like, okay, she has a problem with Rachel and Kristen and Marilyn and starts like, okay, we have a common thread and it's that she doesn't get along with anyone. So.
Yeah. Cause at first, I mean, Marilyn went first to, you know, really talk to him at the cocktail party. And, you know, she went in and was like, I know we haven't, you know, we didn't really talk that much, but I was thinking, do you not like me anymore? I wasn't on a date. And she's like, well, he's like, well, I remembered your favorite flower was an orchid, which, okay. So I brought you this flower. And then she was like on cloud nine and it was great. And then all of a sudden, like she walked back with the flower and Victoria was like, all right, this is what I'm going to strike.
It's just so bizarre all the way around. And like I said, if without her, this is all just everyone loves everyone. And it's not drama free, but certainly less drama. But at some point you just have to say like, why? I mean, I get a little bit, and we every season, no matter Bachelor, Bachelorette, you need that person for a while.
Yeah.
And maybe this is just a quick burn because that's what she does. But like, okay.
Well, like you said, I mean, episodes. Like without her, there's really no one right now that would give us any
everyone loves everybody
sort of entertainment.
Yeah. Like, oh, she had the first kiss. That's so great. I'm like, whoa, hold on. Okay. That's what you really do. Everyone is like, yeah, everyone is buddy buddy with everybody else. And that gets into the sorority thing that a couple people mentioned. And while I get not wanting necessarily be in a sorority there, you have to get along. This is just sort of that next level of like, oh, I hope you have a great date. Like, see you though. Which goes back to Victoria's. Yeah, like Victoria's not completely wrong. She's just the wrong messenger. Like, yes. You don't want other people's dates to be great. You know, right. Just, hey, we don't see eye to eye. You got to go home. That means I'm still here.
Yeah. But you don't have to wallow in like the, ugh.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Wrong, right portion of a message, completely wrong messenger. You know, and I wish he could have seen the fact that she wouldn't even sit next to Marilyn. Like, he tries to have a conversation, say, hey, she's like, let's go outside. No, it's cold. I want to stay here. So the women, okay, we'll leave you alone. Can I sit here? No, I'll look at you. Well, you can look at her while sitting next to her.
Because I want to see her face when you realize that you're wrong. Like,
yeah, she's just, I just play that back. Like, there are certain times where it's just like, you get a pass to watch video footage once. Like, here you go. And you can see you're acting like a three-year-old. Like, there's no conversations that need to be had. Just watch that and be like, oh, right. She's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Let's move on.
Yeah.
And
if he leaves it as, you know, I got to get to the bottom of this. And then he doesn't really do anything. And then he's like, okay, rose ceremony.
Yes, I didn't really get to the bottom of anything. And because just like, oh, she said, oh, well, guess we'll move on. And then you have. So anyone that didn't hate Victoria before is now on that bus because all of a sudden you have a lot of women. Things were going great. And so everyone was on track to hang out with him. And then this ends everything sort of abruptly and or takes up time. So now you have all the people that didn't get to talk to him are like, oh, okay, now we're on team anti-Victoria.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, now we get it.
And this somehow got to Sarah because this is where I'm a little confused about what happened with her because she's getting upset off camera, you know, and her in the moment saying how, well, Victoria ruined the night. She's starting to cry. And then it flips to her, you know, in between roses where she just like falls off the dais and, needs to be attended to. It feels like she's going to pass out. I don't know that I'm getting the connection there.
I don't either. I wouldn't have any question if she didn't have a rose or a date.
Totally.
Then 100% it would be like, you know, she's stressed out. She wants attention. You know, this is the route she's taking to get that. But I mean, she had a great date. She got a rose. They had a great connection. So there must be something deeper than that.
We've seen wonderful editing. Yeah, I mean, we've seen wonderful editing before. So maybe one had nothing to do with the other. But for her specifically to be talking about how like Victoria ruined the night and like getting emotional about it while holding a rose just didn't connect for me.
Yeah.
And maybe it did. Maybe it's just she had. Didn't have enough fluids or whatever, and she got lightheaded. But if it had to do with Victoria, quote unquote, ruining things while she knows she's coming back, I was very confused about that whole situation.
Yeah, I definitely don't understand the exact connection between these two events. But I would hope we get actual answers since it's to be continued,
or yeah, like they could doing just this back kind and of brush forth. It off.
As okay,
yeah, which we've seen plenty before.
Just blacked out. Now I'm better. I went to a room and got fluids, and now I'm back. I'm feeling better. That's it. So it could go either
way. At some point, we get the clip of Victoria saying, "You know, tell him Sarah sucks." And if somehow this delays the rose ceremony, maybe that's what leads to that because you know Victoria doesn't have a rose yet, and you know, tell him that Sarah sucks. Which I know it's ridiculous that those are even words that we need to mention, but The fact that that's like one of the big scenes is tell him Sarah sucks is probably tells us all we actually need to know about Victoria.
Yeah. Like what is going to happen? And what we need answers.
And the back. Yeah. I mean, the back and forth made it seem like, okay, when something happened, I thought it was Marilyn, cause that would make the most sense if she's
obviously
concerned, worried about, oh, I'm not going to get a rose now. I'm like, oh, she's having an issue. I'm like, well, but it's Sarah. I mean, I get confused easily, but this whole thing just didn't connect for me.
Yeah. We can only hope
but what
for...
we do know. So some answers, that would be nice. But we do know that Bree, Lauren, Sarah, Piper, Kit, Meg, Rachel, Abigail, Chelsea, Jacina, Katie, your girl, and Serena C have roses before the 2B continued.
Yes.
Where that leaves us at next week, we'll see. But I'm hoping for this, and this is just so that we get rid of Victoria. I'm hoping that he postpones the rest of the rose ceremony. And that's where we get the clip of her saying Sarah sucks, because then she gets eliminated when the rose ceremony finishes and we're done with her.
Yeah. Oh, I don't.
I know. Producers probably won't let her go that quickly, but yeah.
Wishful thinking for you.
That's why I'm here. I'm just trying to be the voice of positivity. And so we'll find out next week what happens, obviously. But while Matt is the matchler, while Matt is in Pennsylvania, what else is going on in the rest of the world? There's a lot going on.
We have a lot going on in Bachelor Nation. We didn't talk about it last week, probably because we didn't want to end on a negative note, maybe. That's why we didn't do it. But two big breakups in Bachelor Nation. We have Evan and Carly and Peter and Kelly.
Shocking. Not so shocking.
Yeah. Shocking. I don't know. It was kind of shocking for Carly and Evan for me.
Yes.
But I mean, I think we knew that it wasn't, they weren't long term. It was shocking that they ended so soon after they just post so much happy stuff. And I guess you just don't know what's really going on with them. And the Peter and Kelly relationship too was just, that was just doomed from the start.
Evan and Carly surprised me on a couple levels. One is I thought that they were just quirky enough for each other that it seemed to fit. The more shocking part about that is that somehow Evan is the one who wanted out. And
yes, that's the biggest part of this whole quote unquote story, I think.
What world are we living in?
Yeah. This was obviously a 2020 story.
Dude, our dude here has got 5 kids. He's now going to be twice divorced. He's like,
okay but not only that, but like, do we like remember this season of Bachelor in Paradise? Like, he basically like forced Carly into loving him and was, you know, like you said, they were quirky enough for each other. It worked. They ended up getting engaged and they were actually happily married for a while. They were married for, I think, almost 3 years, have 2 or 3 kids. But that is the most shocking part, is that this was really Evan's call.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense to me. I can't, because when I saw it, I said, oh, that sucks. I didn't see that coming. But I just assumed it was her decision.
It was Carly.
And to find out that she was saying, hey, you know, I told him if you ever wanted out, you can get out. Like, why would he ever want out? Where's he going? I don't understand.
Who is your out?
Oh, and the other one, I mean, you know, Peter and Kelly, I never expected that to work.
Yes, situation. No, like maybe they were just enough for each other. And you know, their parents did meet, their moms became really close, and, you know, with Barb being Barb, I mean, right there, it's it's pretty much, if you can impress her, I guess you're good for a while, I guess, in the relationship. But, I mean, they were moving together to New York from California, and something just went wrong with planning with the move, and they basically just said they were in two, they had two different views of the future. So whatever that is, but it does look like, it looks like Peter broke up with Kelly. So, not sure how true that is, but they are both still moving to New York though, which I thought was interesting.
I wouldn't say unlike Carly and Evan, I don't know that either way surprises me, like who broke up with who. Anytime your mother is that involved in like picking your significant other, it's never going to end well. So, listen, I wish Peter well, I wish everyone well, but until if he ever tells Barb to like calm down and let him pick his women or men or whatever, you know, his next relationship is, then it's hard to imagine being successful.
Yes. And speaking of Barb, this is probably more of a warning for everyone. She learned how to go live on Instagram last night.
Oh no.
So, I randomly just happened to be on Instagram and I saw, it said Sweet Nums, which is her, Instagram handle, which that's a whole nother issue.
Of course.
Is going live or whatever. So naturally I clicked it. And she had like almost, she had over 1,000 people watching her. And
wow.
Then if you,
okay.
Yeah. So if you requested, like, cause you know, on Instagram, when you're live, people can request to be in your video. Obviously.
She was accepting people.
So she was just accepting like all these people that were just like requesting to be on her live. She'd be like, okay,
oh, that's cool.
This is, you know, Ryan from Connecticut. And then like the couple or the person would like just pop up and then be like, oh my gosh, I'm your biggest fan. I love Peter, like all this stuff. And then Peter made an appearance. Cause she was like, I don't know how to do all this technology stuff. I think I'm going to be doing this a lot more often. I really like this. But yeah, Peter made an appearance and then all the comments turned to, why did you and Kelly break up? Like get back together. And then he's like, all right guys, like I'm going to go back. And then kind of exited. So she's probably going to be doing that a lot more. So you should check it out at least once. And she's like the typical mom, like on, you know, the older person on, and her face is like all the way up in the screen.
Can you see me?
And she's like, oh, hi to Iceland. Hi to Connecticut. Hi to like all this stuff.
Comment on everyone.
She's like, hi to Boston. Oh, ooh, I love clam chowder. Like, just like all this random stuff. So it's pretty funny. Another Instagram story news. Tasia did like a 5K race with Zach for New Year's over the weekend. And Joe was doing the same race. Remember anesthesiologist Joe?
Yeah.
Her ex-boyfriend, I guess.
Who won?
I don't know, but they like took a picture together and they were like laughing, and so they're on good terms, in case you were wondering.
Okay. I listen, Joe was one of the surprising exits. So good to see Joe is thriving.
Yes. And then my final one that I have is Mike Johnson, who we wanted to be Bachelor instead of Peter, no offense, was he just got a hosting gig for a digital series for Fox called That Looks Good. And it's basically like a food competition show with reviews on food. So yeah, that's all I have in Bachelor Nation world.
Wow. Well, I'm definitely going to be checking out Barb's Lives, obviously.
Obviously.
And hopefully they'll let us join. I mean, we got to join the next live and have a chat with her. See if we can help with the approval of Peter's next significant other.
Yeah, there you go. Sweet nums.
Well, sweet nums, I hope you're listening and hope you're following us on all socials at Bachelor Podcast. And this is episode 2. We're just starting. It's amazing. So season 25 will continue next week. And Katie, thank you as always.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.